Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along to The D Word here on UK Health Radio. Great to have you company for another hour of dementia talk and music. There have been a number of films about dementia, but not many who have really looked at things through the eyes of caregivers. My guest this week, Kitty Norton, used her experience as a caregiver for her mum Gloria and her background in the television industry to produce Wine, Women and Dementia, a film about her road trip to meet caregivers all over America. Kitty will be joining me right after this from Sam Outlaw. That's new from Sam Outlaw, Someone Quite Like You, from the album Terracotta. My guest this week is film producer Kitty Norton. It's a joy to welcome you here to the D Word. We've got lots to talk about. Wine, Women and Dementia is the film, which we will be talking about, which I saw recently. And I've got to start with saying I think it's excellent. It's superb. It's got a bit of everything in there, really. There's humour in there, there's tears in there, there's information in there. It's a road trip like no other road trip, I would say. But before we talk about your film, tell me a little bit about your blog, and also why is it called Stumptown Dementia?
So during our time caring for my mother, my sister and I co-cared. And when my sister would come to the house, she'd stay for 2 or 3 days, taking her days with mom. And I would be down in the basement because my parents have a split level. So I'd be down here with not a whole lot to do because Lexi had it all under control upstairs. So I decided to start writing and kind of process this journey through a creative endeavor. And I loved the writing. I loved creating the little images that I had for each blog post. I am so grateful for that now because I can go back and, you know, really understand what I was going through. And the writing was a lot like the movie. There was funny stories. There were stories that were just ripping my heart out because I was in such a bad place as a caregiver at the time. It was kind of the whole, you know, shebang of this is what the personal journey is like for me. And it might be like this for you too. I live in Portland, Oregon. And one of the nicknames for my town is Stumptown. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to name the blog, I thought I'd name it Stumped Town because we're stumped in Stumptown here trying to figure out dementia and our mother and how we get her through this journey. How Stumptown Dementia came about.
Great title, and it's excellent read as well. There's lots of, you know, really good stuff there. Tell me a little bit about your mum as well, Gloria. I mean, this is where this all started, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So I had parents that were right in between the Greatest Generation and the Baby Boomers. They were in that little decade, you know, where nobody really knew what they were. Very traditional. Along the gender lines and who took care of what. And both my parents were wonderful. Both my parents had an incredible sense of humor, very self-deprecating. And they invested that humor in my sister and I. My parents started from nothing and worked their way up. My sister and I were born in middle class and worked our way down. So they were always trying to helped us out and give us a leg up and get us out of trouble. And, you know, I don't know if they would say we were the best daughters in the world, but we certainly offered a lot of excitement in their lives. And my mother was just lovely and somewhat timid to people on the outside, but she was also the third of 9 children. She had a great sense of humor. She was so very lively with her family and all these little kids that were her siblings that she had raised. And, you know, she was wonderful. There were times when I think both my sister and I could have used a little bit more of an example of a modern woman, you know, in my parents' relationship. Like I said, it was very traditional, but there was a lot that we got out of that too. So she was just a funny gal. Loved her favorite words were naughty. If somebody was naughty, that's like, it was because it was nothing that she would do, but she thought it was funny because they were being naughty, you know? she was just a funny gal.
And, you know, I'm not going to put too many spoilers in this because I want people to watch the movie, but there is a moment in the movie when you first knew that there was something wrong. You know, I wonder if you could tell us just about that moment.
Yeah. So I had changed careers mid-career path and decided that I wanted to go into editing for video. And I was, one of my classroom assignments, I decided to make a kind of a historical little documentary about my parents for their 50th anniversary. And part of that included interviewing my mom and dad. And during the interview, my mom forgot my dad's name. And it struck me at the time that that was really odd. But then when you edit film, you know, you spend a lot of time with that footage. So the more and more I watched it, you know, going back to getting the right clip, putting it in the right place and seeing that moment over and over again was like, wow, this isn't good. This isn't right. And there were other things too that were happening kind of starting in that time that was like, all right, I think we at least need to go to a doctor and get either a, yeah, you should be concerned, or no, don't worry about it. This is normal aging. And yeah, so that was hard. That was hard to spend so much time with that footage and have to go over that over and over again and realize that something needed to be done.
And that something was to get a diagnosis.
Yes.
When you got a diagnosis, was it really, this is the diagnosis, thank you and goodbye? Or did you get, you know, any form of support?
No, it was the first, the former. And I understand that that's changing a lot, not just in the U.S., but in a lot of countries are being a lot more proactive about that. But it's still, I still hear from caregivers who are like, wow, we just got, you know, a diagnosis of MCI, or we just got a diagnosis of frontotemporal, and they gave us some pamphlets and sent us on our way. And that's literally what happened to us. A couple of prescriptions, out the door we went. I actually went with my mom to that appointment because she didn't want to scare anybody. She didn't want my dad to know yet. I was the one who was kind of, you know, encouraging her, like, let's just go see mom. Let's just go figure this out. You know? So I was standing right next to her when the pamphlets landed in my hand and the prescriptions landed in hers. And the doctor said, you know, see you in 6 months, we'll see what the progression's like. And it was, you know, it was just crazy. And I think for my father, it was even harder because he just had a really hard time accepting it. And then when he did go through the pamphlets and start looking into stuff, he said, all it talks about is how she's going to die. And I can't do it anymore. I can't, you know, and he kind of put his head in the sand for a while because there was no support. There was nobody saying, hey, guess what? This is still life. You still got a life to live. In fact, you got a long life to live. Dementia doesn't work very fast. So what are you going to do? Are you going to cry for a decade, or are you going to kind of cowgirl up and figure it out?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and grey. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils, catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflecting Minton's eyes of China blue. Colors changing hue, morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they listen now. For they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside, on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Starry, starry night, portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged man in ragged clothes, the silver thorn of bloody rose, like crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they'll never will.
The Mona Lisa twins from Austria and their version of Don McLean's Vincent here on the D Word. We've got some great guests lined up over the coming weeks. We're going to be exploring the links between Parkinson's and dementia, hearing about person-centred technology and finding out how to take control of cognitive ageing. There's always room for more guests though, so if you're working on a project you'd like our listeners to hear about, do get in touch by dropping us an email to tdwradio@gmail.com. My guest this week is film producer Kitty Norton, who, like many caregivers, was left feeling very isolated when her mum, Gloria, received a diagnosis. So you decided, you know, at that point, you must have felt, you and your sister must have felt very lonely. Move on a little bit, and you've decided to produce the movie to show people that maybe coming to your situation, be in your situation, that they're not actually lonely, and there are a lot of people going through the same thing.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I became very, very frustrated in my time as a caregiver for my mom with the lack of information about what this journey might entail. We would often hear that phrase, you know, every dementia person is different. And I literally got so angry every time I would hear that, because it was like, well, sure, because all brains are different. All living situations are different. Things are shutting down differently. People have different resources. But you know what? There's a lot of similarities too. Most people are going to experience sundowning. Some people are going to experience hallucinations. Some people are going to go through the rage stage. Incontinence is going to happen for everybody. And eventually your person is not going to want to take a shower anymore. So let's just give caregivers and dementia people a little bit of a heads up on what may be on the road, you know? And that was so frustrating to me. And when I decided to make this documentary, which actually the decision came in steps. You know, first it was just these virtual friends I had met through the blog that I wanted to go visit after mom died. And then it became like, well, I know we're going to have these crazy conversations about our caregiving. Maybe that would be interesting to other caregivers. And then, you know, it became this whole, well, now the trip, I mean, that's both metaphorically and physically happening. My kind of trip to move away from dementia and my literal trip to get the hell out of the house, you know, and away for a month and just give myself some space. Yeah. So that all came about in steps. And then when we got into post-production and just had a really, really great editor who started to go through the footage with me and see the spots that he found, you know, really compelling, which was, frankly, we could have made a 10-hour movie. But by that point in time, I knew that I wanted to hit all of these particular points in dementia that could be a part of your journey. And there were some that people fought me about. Like, there's just a little tiny bit about morphine and what it's like to have to give your person morphine at the end of the journey. And everybody was like, really, is that important? I'm like, yes, you don't know how many of us are terrified that we're going to kill our person just trying to give them some pain relief in their very last days. You know, so none of it is a traditional teaching method. All of it is just conversations between caregivers, and it allows other caregivers who see it to take away information that they might need in the future, or see that their story, that how they feel and what they've gone through is how other people are feeling and what they've gone through too. I'm sorry, yeah. That was a really long answer.
No, I think I explained it well. I mean, you know, there's two, I know this is called the D word, but there's two H words that came out of me watching it. One is honesty and the other one is humor. And it had a lot of both. Some people shy away from humor. They think it's not the thing when you're dealing with, you know, a dark subject like dementia. But it's a really important part of the whole story. It's an important part of the film. And also the music, very upbeat. And, you know, I love that. And that made it, it's a difficult subject, and there were some real tough bits to watch, but it was much easier to watch because of that.
Well, and again, we had an amazing director or editor who knew, you know, to give people the highs, and then it's going to come down. It's going to be a little low, folks, and it's going to be hard, and then we're going to take you back up, and we're going to give you a little relief before we go down to that next low. It's kind of hard to explain to people that it's like, well, I've actually made a really entertaining film about dementia, because there's nothing entertaining about dementia, you know, in the broader narrative. But it's true. I've never laughed at another dementia film, and I see almost all of them that I know about. But our family had to use humor to get through the toughest parts of our lives, and dementia was no exception. I hope that caregivers who watch this realize that this may not be the way you want to get through the journey. Your person may find it disrespectful. You may feel it's disrespectful, and that's fine. All I want you to do is see how this group of people, because it wasn't just me and my sister, it was, you know, this is how I made these friends that I had known virtually. We were all using this tactic, and some of it may work for you. Maybe none of it does, but at least you see a different way to give it a shot in case you get there someday and need an extra tool in your toolkit.
Well, I think also what it showed is people talking honestly about a difficult subject. And that's something that people don't always find easy to do. And dispelled, a lot of the stigma and the myths out of it. But you're just sitting there, you know, wine, women and dementia. You had your glass of wine. You were sitting there and just, you know, chewing the fat, talking about dementia as a subject.
And I believe that really comes about because the people that I chose to go visit, we were friends to start with. We already trusted each other. We already trusted that we could say how we felt and some of the really bad experiences, especially for me. I talk very openly about some really bad caregiving days. And I trusted them to understand where I was at and to help me process that. You know, it's like once those days are behind you, I couldn't keep beating myself up about it. I still feel terrible, but I finally forgave myself. And it was these people that we already got each other. You know, it wasn't me showing up with a stranger that I had researched and said, okay, they meet this criteria and now I'm going to go talk to them. It was, wow, you know, we've already been friends for, you know, a year, a couple of years. Your emails already make me smile on bad days. Let's just open a bottle of wine and talk about stuff and we'll see what we have at the end of it. And I had some specific questions for people in various topics. But a lot of the times we kind of talked about the same thing with everybody. There were certain topics that we talked about with everybody, you know, so we had a lot of choices of stories to tell in that particular vein.
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty. And I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. And when I leave this island, I book myself into a soul asylum. 'Cause I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. So here I go, still scratching around in the same old hole. My body feels young, but my mind is very old. So what do you say? You can't give me the dreams that are mine anyway. You know I'd stay, but I just can't stand it. And I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. And if I could find me a hole and I'll live in it. And I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. Here I go, I'm still scratching around in the same old hole. My body feels young, but my mind is very old. So what do you say? You can't give me the dreams of the mind anyway.
Oasis and Half the World Away, from a Brit who likes baseball to a US girl who loves Britpop. All 41 UK Health Radio shows, including the D Word, are also available in podcast format, and you can download them from all the major platforms. I'm chatting to Kitty Norton about her film Wine, Women and Dementia. And I think it was, you know, it was nice, the chronology of it, the way it took through a journey. And you reach the point, it's interesting one about, you know, the memory care decision and that difficult decision that, you know, you were saying at the beginning of our conversation, there are certain things that most people face and commonalities, and that usually is a commonality as well, that you have to, you know, undergo that memory care decision. And you also brought in your own experience with your sister and the fact that Gloria went into memory care. But I think it was 5 weeks later, you pulled her out of memory care.
Yeah, it was the most expensive 5-week vacation we've ever had. Like, whoops, that didn't work. How much money did we give them? Yeah, it's and I don't want to diss memory care, because it is a great solution for so many people. I think we had picked a really good memory care. I think it was just circumstantial. Like, the week before Mom moved in, their activities director, who was like 36, died of a heart attack suddenly. They were already searching for a new head nurse. So that position, you know, is very important, but they were already working on getting that filled. The director of the memory care had found out she had a brain tumor, and she was trying to get prepared for, you know, for surgery that was going to happen in 3 months. And it was just, it was a lot of a situation where there was not a whole lot of steering the ship, and the people working the oars didn't necessarily work the oars like they should, because nobody was there to make sure they were, you know. So we worked with people. We found some great people who were trying their best to make mom's transition there much better, but it just wasn't working. And it was so stressful on my sister and I. I don't think I cried as much in the entire dementia journey as I did those 5 weeks she was not here, because I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. That's really just the blanket statement. And my sister was the one who finally said, we're done. Bring her home. So I did. I was the POA and the financial person. So while my sister was just absolutely fantastic supporting me, she didn't want to have anything to do with making the actual decisions. There were times when I knew when she said, "We are done, get her home." It's like, okay, okay, Lex, great. I'm on it. You've made the final decision. That's great. Good for me.
And it must have been a straining on your relationship, and it must be straining on everybody's relationship with siblings and friends and close people when you have to go through that caregiver journey.
One of the funny things about the film is we don't talk about siblings at all. And that's because almost all of us were still trying to work together in difficult relationships with our siblings. And I hear that so much on the forums and on, you know, the socials, that people struggle with their siblings. But it was the one thing where I thought, we can't go there, because my sister and I are still putting our relationship back together. There were a couple of people who, after the crew had wrapped and the sound guy had left and the, you know, DP had pulled his camera out, they were like, okay, now can we talk about my family? 'Cause they're driving me crazy. So I'm sorry, guys. We were as brave and honest as we could be, but that would have probably taken too much out of what we are still trying to put together in our own personal lives to go there.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
One of the ones that actually brought a tear to my eye was Alison's story, where she was forced to divorce her husband in order to get enough financial aid for him to go into memory care. I don't think that's a situation you'd face here in the UK, but that was a real eye-opener to me.
Yeah, it's funny, that's come up before. where, you know, people from Canada or people from the UK or different areas around the world will contact me and talk about that financial part and complain about your healthcare systems. And I'm like, you guys, we would kill for NHS, even as broken as it is, you know? Yeah. And Evan, her husband was a really tough case. And I know in the States, this happens quite frequently. When a dementia person is placed in care, if they have a lot of antisocial behaviors, if they're in the rage stage, if they're a big person, which her husband was young and a big man, and just didn't want to do things. He was very strong and could very strongly not do things that people needed him to do. So he had to go to some of the most restrictive memory cares, and they cost a lot of money. And when Allison's taught, I think in the film she says it was $10,000 a month. That was back in 2017 in Seattle, Washington. I guarantee you, you can't find $10,000 a month now in that area, for especially for someone who has really very hard to manage dementia behaviors. So, yeah, it sucks, and it sucks for every country. But I will say, you guys, we look at your health system and wish it was part, wish we had it.
Yeah, sure. You know, the debate about the NHS could go on for a very long time. Yeah. One of the other things that comes out of the film towards the end as well is that, you know, I guess you're still going through it. What you learn about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's. I would guess that's pretty common for a lot of people who have gone through this journey. I mean, there is love and there is laughter, but there's also trauma and there's also tragedy. And in that period of time, you don't have time to deal with it because you're waiting for the next tragedy to hit. You're waiting for the next bit of trauma. And sometimes that's an all-day thing. Sometimes it's three times a day. Sometimes you go a week without any of it, but you just don't have time. You're working. You are working. This is a job. And as much as you love your person, you are solely responsible for them, and you have to be on your toes. And when the time came that I was not, that's really hard. Suddenly you don't know who you are anymore. You know, you've based every fiber of your being on this person's wellness for the last 5 years. And now who am I? And I still struggle with that. You know, I'm back in therapy the last couple of months trying to figure myself out and figure what am I doing and why do I have such moments of just despair? And I think they're all connected. So I'm still a work in progress. I guess we all are our entire lives, but I think caregiving takes a lot out of you, and it gives you a lot. At least it did for me. It gave me a lot. It gave me a film. It gave me a whole new career. It gave me a purpose. But there's still things I'm trying to figure out that are not right.
You know, I guess it's an example of the caregiver journey goes on, even though sadly the loved one that you were caring for is no longer around. I haven't read all your blog posts, I've got to admit. Sorry, I will go back and catch up on some. But
there's
one
quite
I did,
a few. It could take you about a week.
Yeah, it took me a while. But one I did read was, if I was in charge of dementia, because I know it flashes up a point in the film, and I thought, I've got to go and read that one. And I've got to say, your points, you've got the job, as far as I'm concerned, the points that you make in that blog post, which, you know, to take the listeners through it a little bit, it's about doctors giving hope when they, you know, they give a diagnosis, to really have support from the moment of diagnosis, to bury stigma, give people meaningful work activities and pay family carers and give them the tools to actually do a job from the outset. And if someone would have said to me before I read that blog post, what do we need to do? It would have been that lot.
Yeah, I was so excited. I'm working with our Oregon chapter of the Alzheimer's Association for some promotion for the we do a big Alzheimer's walk. The whole nation does every summer and fall. And when I met with them, they were talking about they're putting together these packets that they're getting into doctor's offices that just is kind of along those same lines. Like, here's some information. Here's some activities. You know, nobody told me about dementia choirs until it was way too late for Mom. You know, I would have loved to have gotten her. She couldn't sing worth a damn, but boy, she loved being around people. You know, that would have been fantastic. Just like the options that there were. We found some art classes, but that was after so much digging. You know, my father, who was Mom's primary caregiver for the first 5 years of her diagnosis, I mean, he just didn't know what to do with her at all. And he was so isolated with her. And part of that was just him, just who he was, and being a more traditional older gentleman. You know, we keep family business to family. And that's not the route you want to take with dementia. It's guaranteed disaster as far as I'm concerned. You know, you got to find the people you can share this journey with. But yeah, I was stunned that we were tossed out into this diagnosis with just no support. I think one of the first things I read was the movie Still Alice, and that was so incredibly depressing. You know, my mom still laughed. My mom still had her little jokes. She had this little white nightie that she'd wander around at night in, and she'd stay hidden in a doorway, and as you were walking by, she'd go, boo. You know, just scare the hell out of you, you know? And I was like, okay, this is a really horrible disease and a tough way to end your life. But it's the way you got to get through it. It's what you've been given. So how are you going to deal with it? Are you just going to write books that just bring everybody down? Are you going to make movies that just show the worst of it? Or are you going to try and give people some hope that, yeah, this stuff's on the horizon for you, but it's not all of it?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's important. I think it says there to get away from the tragedy narrative, I think, is the are the words that he used. Time is bringing us to a close, but a couple of questions for you. One, are you ever going to set foot in an RV again, having done 7,500 miles with one?
Well, at the next year, so that was 2021 in September of 2021, we did the production tour. The next year, we were invited to our first conference. And my sister and I went together, and that was in Roanoke, Virginia. So we again did about 7,000 miles in the Gloria. The Gloria currently needs about $8,000 worth of repairs. So I'm guessing while she's sitting outside in the driveway, I don't think I'm ever going to have enough money to fix her and do it. But I actually loved it. I loved it. It was so much fun driving around and, you know, you just have your house behind you. You just park your car and you turn around and there's your clothes and your spices and your, you know, and your wine in the fridge. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah, it certainly looked fun. And the most important one, and particularly for us here in the UK, is when can people get to see it and where can they get to see it?
I am so excited. We are doing our big UK, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, just the whole rollout for Dementia Action Week. So May 13th through May 19th, the film will be available to screen virtually. And it's going to be kind of like a video on demand, except you can screen it for free. We will have a Be Our Guest ticket if you can support the film, because these things cost money to even get them on the platform so you guys can access them. There will be ticket prices that you can purchase instead, and that's we're very grateful. But if you can't, be our guest. We just want you to see it. We just want you to experience it. And then on the 19th, we're going to have... I'm kind of unsure on the name right now, but I think we're calling it a Celebrate Caregiver Summit. And that will be a place where we gather to talk about the film, to talk about your stories, to talk about our stories. We're not muting caregivers anymore. We're not being quiet. We're a part of this. We're going to talk to each other and tell our tales. So look for all of that information. By the time this posts, I'll have those links to you because I haven't actually built those events yet.
That's fine. We will put it all out on our social media channels and very much look forward to them. Kitty, it's been an absolute pleasure. Wine Women and Dementia, super movie, and everybody should see it.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you for having me. I've just so enjoyed listening to your podcast. Although I have to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of country music, but every once in a while I'm like, why can't he just throw some pulp in there, some, you know, British pop? But nope. But I'm hearing a lot more music than I'm enjoying a lot more music than I thought I would like.
Well, that's good to hear. Thanks, Kitty. Thanks so much to Kitty. You can find out more about the movie on the website winewomenanddementia.com and watch out for those film viewings during Dementia Action Week. Well, that's all for us for another week. Thanks as always to my production assistant, Angela. And next week, I'm going to be exploring the links between Parkinson's and dementia with my guest, George Ackerman. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.